Next up is another one of Tregatrees. This is B. McCauley reading a fan fiction about the musical Cats. Take it away.
Romance Under the Olive Tree by Jelinzer. Chapter 1.
Geez, you couldn't even grab me a salmon burger without messing it up, could you? I complained.
Sorry, I guess. What did I do?
He asked me.
Ah, nothing, forget about it.
He was completely clueless when it came to common sense. But that guy was smarter than you'd think. I was starting to wonder if he really deserved the nickname Sparklebutt. He was just a kid, but he was a good one. Unlike Ponceval, who couldn't stand still in one place for more than 50 seconds. Most of us wondered if he had some kind of inside mental illness. Mephistopheles was always prancing about and pretending he knew everything, while running into walls and messing up salmon-paste sandwiches. Chapter 2. My attention turned from Mephistopheles to Bombellerina. She was the Scarlet Queen. Dreaming about her at night was all that kept me sane throughout the day. But that's all there ever was. Dreams. I watched her more intently, and a curious look crossed her face, as if she knew she was being watched. Her head spun around, and I quickly ducked behind a tire to avoid being spotted.
Why are you staring at me?
I spun around. It was Bomba. Uh-oh, this couldn't be good.
No, I don't know what you were referring to, I answered casually.
Yeah, everybody knows that when you act all polite, you're lying,
Bomba replied.
Well, I thought I'd said it casually. Who told you that? I asked her.
Don't try to pull that one on me, mister. Everyone knows that.
Okay, sure, maybe I was looking at you.
She swiped her tail along my jawline. I shivered. I walked away to avoid any more embarrassing conversations. Of course, things did not work in my favor. I ran into my mother, Grisabella. Please, don't let this bring up any more embarrassing conversations.
So Mama told me that she wanted to talk to you. Did you run into her?
Oh, heaven's side, no! Yeah, I ran into her, I replied.
Yeah, okay. Awkward,
she concluded before walking away. I walked to the willow tree at the edge of the river. This was my quiet place. No one else knew about it. Bombellerina walked up.
What are you doing?
She asked me.
Nothing really, I replied.
How do you know about this place?
I come here a lot. I didn't know anyone else knew about this place.
Until now, I added after the awkward silence. She whispered and walked away. That was one of the more interesting conversations that I've had with Bomba. Most of the conversations I've had with Bomba were strange ones, but this one was different. Perhaps it had a double meaning. Chapter 3. It's not that I didn't trust Bomba. I mean, sure, she had ditched me in the mud a few times, but that was forgivable. I started to wonder what that conversation actually accomplished. Absolutely nothing. We had accomplished nothing and gotten away with it. Usually, if nothing was accomplished, my father was on my tail quicker than you could say mouse, implying that I was talking about a guy who planned to live forever and was on the so-far-so-good planning stage. My dad was extremely old, but then again, so was my mother. The point is, my dad moved really fast when he was angry. I'm not exactly sure why he got angry when nothing was accomplished. I don't think he wanted a big flirt for his son, either. I bet he wanted me to turn out to be something cool, like my brother Munkenstrap. He was the tribe protector, and he was next in line to become leader. That was probably a good thing. If he had made me tribe leader, I'd probably run everybody over a bridge and get everybody killed. Yeah, it was a good thing.
What you thinking about?
I looked up. Oh, heaven's sight. Bomba!
Are you stalking me or something? I asked her.
That was a really weird question. I don't think so.
She looked confused. I jumped out of the tree and ran away from my stalker. I didn't know what I felt now. My feelings were all mixed up. I used to think that Bomba was such a stuck-up flirt, but now I thought she was something more. What is this feeling? Is it love? Oh no, I was falling for the stalker! And not just any stalker. My stalker! Great, now I was turning into a love-hungry demon. I wondered what Bomba was feeling. She definitely did not feel the same way I did, I think. I needed help, so I went to my dad. This should go well, I hoped.
Dad? I called into his den. Dad?
Huh? What do you want?
He asked me.
Nothing, I guess,
I said as I left the room. I bumped into Tantamile and Coracapat on my way out of the den.
Hello, is something wrong?
They asked me, in sync, of course. Chapter 4. I looked at them like they had fish in their eye sockets.
I ran off, leaving them standing there looking frazzled. Later that night, I heard the other cats talking and I decided to listen in because apparently I wasn't invited.
Something is up with Tugger, my mother complained.
Yeah, we noticed that too,
said Cory and Tonto at the same time.
I know what's wrong,
etc. began. What? Everyone whispered loudly.
Tugger's in love.
With who? They asked her.
With me,
she said as she sighed. Oh, shut up, etc. Everyone yelled at her.
In your dreams, midget whiskers,
I thought. Etc. was cute, but so annoying. She couldn't ever be my mate. I'd kill myself. Maybe she would hook up with someone. Like Plato. He had his eyes on Victoria. Everyone knew that. But she was already hooking up with Sparklebutt, Mrs. Starfleas. They were cute together. I felt happy for them. Monk and Strap and Demeter had been mates for a while. They already had a bunch of kittens. One was my secret lover, etc. Monk was young and working a full-time job, which was enough to support the family, but he couldn't leave his paranoid mate at home with, like, 9 kittens. They had made a hard choice to give up all but 2 of their kittens. Tumble Brutus, Ponceville, and etc. went off to live with Jelly. The rest went to live with Jenny Annie Dots. I felt bad for the kittens, but that life wasn't much different from the way I had grown up. My mother was constantly looking in the mirror. My brother, McCavity, was always beating people up, and my father was the tribe leader. He didn't have much time to worry about our problems, and Monk and Strap was always the one getting beat up because he was a goody-goody. So, I was practically raising myself. Jelly had helped out a lot. She had lived that sort of life, too.
All right, okay. Tragetry. You have something to say?
Yeah, to start with, this is how you pronounce the following words. All right. The word you were pronouncing as Mrs. Stoffleys is, in fact, Miss Stoffleys. The way I know this is because it's in a song. Also, it's spelled Mistopheles. There's no extra S there. In any of the times, it's spelled Mistopheles. They actually spelled Mistopheles right. What else? Heavenside. You said Heavenside, and the correct term is Heaviside. The reason I know this is because it's not only spelled Heaviside, but also it's said in the song. And then you said Munkenstrap, which I'm pretty sure never had an N in it. It is Munkustrap. That's just, you know, the pronunciation notes that need to be fixed.
Do you feel better
now?
Do you feel better? Caught.
Yes.
Good.
I feel so much better.
She does that shit to me too, Sixbay. Don't worry.
Don't stand up for him.
I'm not, because I'm going to say some things in a minute too. Go ahead.
You can say something. I don't want to take up all this time just
talking.
I didn't
like your British accent in the beginning. When you read your speaking lines, you did it American, and then you went into British. You're like, hi, I'm a cat. And you're like, I complained. So, like, you had two different things. The story is horrible in the first place. You stumbled on, you like, perhaps it had a double meaning. Like, it sounded like you kind of stumbled a little bit.
While we're here. Sorry. The reason you were stumbling is because you were speaking at the fucking speed of light. And then you would stop. And you would say another sentence and you would stop. Sorry. Go on. Girl voice.
Girl voice, there's no... It was pointless. I don't know. I wasn't a fan of this, unfortunately.
Yeah, this was really hard to listen to, sadly. And the entire time...
It was funny. The story was funny.
Yeah. But, like, you really needed to slow down and so you could actually act some of it. This is a first-person narrative. It should be a lot easier for you to give emotion.
I disagree.
Oh, really?
I disagree that there's much of a difference between reading first-person and third-person.
Oh, no, but I mean, there's more freedom to emote in
True.
A first-person narrative.
But I don't want them to take too many liberties on first-person narratives either.
Right, but I wish they would take liberties on first-person narratives.
Oh, he took some liberties. Like the girl voice.
Yeah, okay. You changed a lot of words around and you added a bunch of words, but there were a lot, so I stopped taking note of all of them.
I am not pleased with this trigger-tree tonight. Your team so far has been fail. Not fail.
I know, and I gave them gold. I gave them gold and they turned it to shit.
I'm not allowed to say fail anymore. But
and by shit, I mean gold. And by gold, I mean shit.
Okay.
No, I just mean shit the entire
time. You can't say that they were... I mean, they tried.
Okay.
Like, with Seraphim's, I feel like a lot of it was maybe misunderstanding of the rules. All three of them misinterpreted the rules. However, With Sixth Spade, he made a lot of errors.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
Right.
So, like, yeah. Not good. Yeah. Usually, bad fanfic, though, we usually have one contestant that does far and away the worse than everybody else. So, we'll probably find that. I don't think it's going to be one of you guys.
Yeah.
We'll see. Do you have anything else you want to say?
That's all.